Hi, my name is Paul, and I have been a Christian for around 40 years. Now, it took me a lot of courage to come here to Christians Anonymous today and to admit that I am indeed a Christian. The reason I could, however, is because I know that you all won't tell anybody else. My secret is safe with you. Now, I just made that up, obviously, Christians Anonymous. And it's a spin on Alcoholics Anonymous or Cocaine's Anonymous. And I've been to those, not for my need, as a sponsor for other people. And that's the whole thing, is they are organizations that are dedicated to supporting the person with the addiction to come up out of that and to have strength in that. And all the while, though, maintaining their secret identity. Not letting anybody else in the world know. It's all about being secret. And as I said, I made up Christians Anonymous, but the fact is, it isn't that far or stretch to see the similarities between the two. Like I say, both groups support their members in their new life and their new call, and it seems that some in both groups, some, prefer to stay anonymous, and I used to be counted in that group as a Christian. Last time in Mark, we talked about the fact that the kingdom of God is a kingdom advanced by his seed sowers, those who are spreading the word, the good news of Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. We are to be gospel sowers who sow the word as a natural outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in us and a gratitude for our salvation. I was listening to Ray Comfort in the interview he gave, and he said, Ray Comfort, I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he's the head of Living Waters Ministry, and he's very outspoken with the gospel. He'll talk to anybody. It doesn't matter. And he'll say just about anything he needs to say to open their hearts up to the gospel. And he said the reason he'll do that is when he got saved, he had an explosion, and that's the way he put it, an explosion of gratitude in his Australian voice, in his soul towards God and God's love for him. And so because of this, he cannot stop telling others because he wants them to experience that same joy that he now knows. In Mark 4, verses 21 to 25, we'll see a couple of things which will be of interest to those who are sowers. First, salvation has been revealed to us so that we can in turn reveal it to others. And like Ray does, and second, those who sow will reap a harvest. Those who do not, however, will have no harvest to reap. Let's read Mark 4, 21 to 25. If you have your Bibles. Mark 4, verses 21 to 25. And he was saying to him, that's Jesus, a lamp is not bought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not bought to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but it would be come to light. If everyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is very direct. It is not beating around the bush, because it's dealing with some real important stuff. Stuff that we need to know. Stuff that will save our souls. Stuff that will make our feet move for the lost. Stuff that shows what your heart is towards mankind. So, Father, we just pray that it will illuminate our hearts to where we are and where we stand when it comes to giving out the message of the gospel, or where we stand because maybe we don't have it in our hearts yet. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing, we are called to sow. Salvation is a public message. Verse 21, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand where everyone can see it? Like the little kids with their lights, this little light of mine, it dispels the darkness. But it also opens up and reveals our hearts too when we let that light shine on us. It's not just shining it out into the world, but shining it on us as well. Matthew 5:14 describes Christ followers as the light of the world, a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. Then Matthew 5, verse 15, says the same as our passage does here in Mark. But then Matthew 5:16 says this, "Let your light shine before all men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." There is no place for anonymous Christians. We are saved and called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. Are you one who has never shared your faith with anyone? Ask yourself, why not? Now, please, I'm not judging you if you haven't. I understand very well. I'm here to encourage you, however, to step out with Christ and become a gospel seed sower. I understand it's easier not to share your faith because you will need to put time into studying the Word and let it reflect on you, praying and submitting to the Holy Spirit in areas of your life where the light of the world deems you need change as a witness. Also, being an anonymous Christian is safe because you won't be rejected for your beliefs. People at work won't think you're weird. But that's okay. They'll think you're weird with something else. On this point, I've always wondered why we will risk the ridicule for our opinions on some social issues, maybe, or make a car or truck we drive, or the big one, preferred music style. I've seen fistfights in mechanic shops over what's playing on the radio. I've seen people fired for not wanting to listen to what's on the radio. Yet when it comes to being rejected or ridiculed for the name of Jesus Christ, we draw a line. Why is that? I think it's because there is so much power in the name of Jesus that Satan doesn't want us to speak it out publicly or at work or in our family gatherings. We've had family members say, okay, there's a few things you can't talk about. One of them is God. We don't want to hear about it. They know that's our life, but they don't want to hear about it. When we don't speak about him, regardless of what people might say, we draw a line, as I say, and this is the basket that we hide our light under. It's called silence, or sometimes apathy. And we leave the world in darkness. The truth is, however, salvation was revealed to you and me, if we're believers, that we might reveal it to others. See, it's a great message. Salvation was revealed to us to reveal to others. Verse 22, "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but it should come to light." 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." That it would shine off us. You know, we read about Moses' encounter with God, that when he come down from that mountain, his face was shining, and he had to cover it until that glow left him, or diminished a bit anyway, so they could look on him. Christ has revealed the gospel to us, and we are now called in his enabling to reveal it to the world, to our neighbors, to our family, our friends, co-workers, wherever God has placed us. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth.'" And he's with you too, even if your name isn't Lo. So, you got that. Taking that call to heart, Paul writes this in Ephesians 3, 8 to 11. "To me, the very least of all saints, it was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the mystery which for ages had been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which God carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Or as our passage here reads in Mark, Nothing is hidden except to be revealed. God's purpose has always been to reconcile sinful man to himself. That is, to bring us back to that former state that we enjoyed in the garden with him when we walked in the cool of the evening. There was nothing between us. There was fellowship, face to face. The Greek word is proselopon, which means looking into each other's eyes, that kind of fellowship, intimate and close. But Adam, of course, ruined that. So this purpose is fulfilled in Christ, this purpose of bringing us back into that. It's fulfilled in Christ and preached by the church, which is each one of us if we're his followers. To reveal this mystery is to manifestly declare, is what Paul says, which is to speak it out in all ways and in all areas of our lives. In so doing, you will be sowing to reap a harvest. Verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So can you hear him? Are you hearing him today about maybe where that word needs to reveal, that light needs to come into your life a bit? Maybe there's things, corners he needs to knock off a little bit in your life, or places he needs to build up or change in your heart. Maybe you need to, again, just think of the wonderful life that he has given you through simple faith and be like Ray Comfort. Have that explosion of gratitude rise up in your heart again where you can't help but want to give it away to somebody else so they can experience it too. Do you have ears to hear? Our next point is about how you sow, and it begins the same way as the last verse ended. It's about harvest depends on sowing. But here, rather than basically saying, listen up, Jesus says in verse 24, take care what you listen to. We need to spread the truth. We need to walk in the truth. We need to be built up in the truth. Be careful what you listen to. As I said, my father-in-law is a dirt farmer. So every spring he plants seed in the ground and with the expectation of a fall harvest. He knows many things can happen that will interfere with the yield and even the quality of the harvest, just like we learned about the spiritual harvest as well last time. And he knows those things are out of his control, but the one thing he knows for sure, and any farmer would know, or anyone who plants a garden, no seed, no harvest. No planting, no reaping. And if you scrimp on your seed, you will have a skinny harvest. As well, that whatever you do plant is what you should expect to harvest. However you spend your life is what's going to be in the bank when you're done at the end. Galatians 6, 7 and 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows into his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Take care of what you listen to, because that's what you'll plant and try to grow. What are you planting? And who are you planting for? Are you expecting a kingdom harvest without planting generously? Or even without planting for the kingdom? We were listening to Mike Goulet yesterday at the Proximity Conference, and he was talking about out of 1 John. He says, at the 1 John, the whole book ends with, little children, flee from idols. That's how he ends the book. And then Mike went on to talk about what are idols. It's the things we're planting. It's the things we put our effort into in this life. We're to flee from those if they're not of the kingdom. It's not that we can't enjoy life. It's not that we can't have hobbies. But if our hobby or for our life pushes Christ away or interferes with growing and following Christ, there's an issue. It's an idol. To plant generously is to live and to speak in such a way that in everything you represent God's kingdom. This is where the light of the word must first have its work in you and in me. First, as Jesus said at the beginning of this verse, take care what you listen to. Paul, in Colossians 2, verse 8, warns us, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 1:1-3, and this must be important because all week long I was not going to put this in the sermon, and God just wouldn't give me any rest until I put this in the sermon. So listen up. Psalms 1:1-3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He's careful what he listens to. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. You must first take care to listen to the light of God's word and allow the kingdom to work in you, in me, before it works through us to the lost. This is not to say that we are perfect. Heaven knows we are not perfect. Was King David perfect? No. Yet God called David a man after his own heart. And why was that? Because David wanted more than anything, for the most part, to see God's kingdom established. Once in a while, he took some rabbit trails, and we've read about those. But he wanted God's kingdom established even over his own. David's sins were real, but so were his confession of those sins and repentance of those sins and the consequences he paid because of those sins. Romans chapter 12 is a beautiful, beautiful chapter, and it describes a Christian or Christ follower with a kingdom-sowing mindset. Take time to read it, but I'll just summarize it for you. It's one who is a living testimony to a saving grace found in Christ. And because of that, there Paul calls us to be a people who offer ourselves up for the kingdom. Present yourselves as living sacrifices, right? A people renewed in their minds by God's word, having your mind renewed. They take care of what they're listening to. They are people of faith, of service, of love, and of hope. Those things should shine through us to people who have no hope in a world that is going to hell in a handbasket. They're hospitable, especially to one another, if you read through Paul's writings. They are full of blessings. They work towards unity in the fellowship, in the church, and striving for peace built on the truth. People who overcome evil with good. In this dark world, don't you think a church like that would be a broadcast seeder? Some of you know what I mean. It just spreads the seed. It doesn't have to go in rows. It spreads it out. They'd be scattering the name of Christ wherever they went, but more than that, wherever they were talked about. The community would talk about us in a way because of the way we shine in that community, which is dark. All of our churches need work there, but God is willing to do that through us. And in all this, we grow in our own faith as we walk with and work with God and his people for his kingdom. As one writer states, do we wish to grow in grace? Do we desire to have a stronger faith, a brighter hope, and a clearer knowledge of the Lord? Beyond doubt, we do. Well, if we're true Christians, we do. Then let us live up to our full light and take advantage of every opportunity. Let us never forget our Lord's words in this passage. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. And that's the next thing we see is this, though. Sow not and have not. But for those who neglect the health of their souls, that is the revelation they give that God has given to them in their word, and they ignore it and they put it aside and don't let it have its work in their soul, that revelation stops there until we put that into action. But it's the same when we put it out there. But for those who neglect the health of their souls, who reject the witness of the word as its light shines in on them and reveals where God wants to work in them, or those who hoard the revelation and insight they garner from their studying of the word, or accumulate notes from every YouTube speaker after speaker and sit it on a shelf somewhere, proud of that bank of biblical knowledge they have collected. Excuse me. And yet never giving that knowledge any sway in their lives, never sharing it with those in need. For those ones, what little they have will be taken away. As Brett Mador so poignantly put it, God's revelation is not based on accumulation, but on distribution. That's in our own lives, and then as we put it out there. The more we put out, the more He will give us to put out. The more He will fill us. The more we allow that revelation to work in our lives, the more He will grow us. That's the sanctification and maturing process in the believer. The word that is given to us is for scattering and sowing. It is not for hoarding. It is for your spiritual growth first and giving life to those who are in need of it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Every good work. Ephesians 5, 25 and 27, anyone who's been in marriage counseling knows this verse. It tells us that Christ gave Himself up for the church so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. This is not describing some perfunctory study of the Bible. This is talking about meeting Jesus in His word and allowing His spiritual truths, His light, to wash over you and accept and apply what His Spirit, with His help, shows you. If we do not listen carefully to God's word and seek to have it grow in us, there will be no harvest. As well, the seeds of faith that are in us will wither. There is a principle called the second law of thermodynamics, and basically it states this. Any system or thing left to itself, that is, without outside intervention, will always tend to decay, or at the very least, stay the same. Hebrews 5:11-14 puts it like this. Concerning Him, Christ, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For those by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. For everyone who partakes only in milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good from evil. From its practice. That's putting the things God has showed you in your life into practice. It's not sitting that truth on a shelf and say, I know this. But wisdom says you only know it when you know how to apply it. That's called wisdom, and that's called maturity. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is by faith that we move out in obedience, yet without obedience your faith is never exercised or tested, so it withers, and is never put into use for the kingdom. Sure, you may be trusting God for things of this world, hoping for ease in this life. That's another thing Mike talked about. You can tell if you're worshiping yourself, and this is for self-reflection, everyone, not in my business. But you can tell if you've become an idol to yourself by what you're praying for. Listen to your prayers. Is it all about you and your comfort, your need and your want? So we may be praying for those things, ease of life and receiving of temporal mundane things. Things that rust and moth will destroy, as Jesus said, or thieves can break in and steal. But as for the eternal, nothing. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. I should turn there, not Colossians. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on that foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as though through the fire. Kind of a sad place to be. Yes, you're saved, but to be a possessor of eternal life, just escaping by the skin of your teeth, so to speak. But actually, it's by the grace of God. But doesn't your heart desire more for this life than to just exist? If Christ is in your heart must desire more. Again, Paul in Colossians 1, 9 to 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, he's talking about your faith, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Be careful who you listen to, right? And then listen to him. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That you may walk in a manner worthy. Paul's saying that if we apply the word, if we study and apply it with the Spirit's help, we will walk in a manner that shows how much we value our relationship with Christ. It's not how much more we are valuable, because our value never changes. We were valuable enough for Christ to die on the cross for us. That's why Ray Comfort had an explosion of gratitude. And that worth never changes. We don't up our value with God, but we walk in a way that shows how much we value that relationship with God. And that comes through studying the Word and allowing it to live in our life so it will shine through. So don't despair. Jesus has just told us through Mark's writing that if we were to begin to allow Jesus' light to shine in us and through us, God will bring about a harvest. There are many opportunities to sow for the Lord in your life, but first your seed bins must be supplied with seed. We need to go back to the beginning of this parable and do just as Jesus said to those around him. Listen up. Pay close attention to what he tells us through his word. And then with his enabling, begin to sow. Maybe this morning you need to ask God for forgiveness in regards to your lack of faith in his ability to empower you for his kingdom plan. Forgiveness for in your membership in Christians Anonymous, or perhaps for your lack of trust in his living word. Being a representative of Christ is not saying, as one guy at work told me one time, we just need to tell them they're dirty, rotten sinners. The guy's name was Dump Truck. He was a huge, and that's what he told me. That's the problem. People ain't getting saved. We're not telling them they're dirty, rotten sinners. I said, you think they don't already know? You think there's stuff that don't keep them awake at night? What we need to tell them is, yes, they're sinners, but Christ has a cure for that. And he wants to cure it. We need to tell them, yes, they're lost, but Christ is a way home. But we need to tell them by the way we live, by the joy they see in us. They'll ask questions. I had one guy tell me in Red Deer at Calfrac, he said, I hear what you're saying, and I know it's made a difference in your life, but I'm just not ready for that. There's nothing we can do about that. And we'll see that next week when Jesus talks about that. But let's be available to tell them of the hope that lies within us. By the smile on our face, by the way we treat other people, by whether things get us down or not, by where our heart is focused. Let's get growing in our relationship with him through his living word and through living prayer. And if you don't know what I mean by that, I mean it's not that you set aside a prayer time and that's your prayer. It's as you move, as you think, as you talk, as you walk, the things that come into your mind, you take them to the Lord. Seek His insight and power sometimes. Allow His light to shine in you and through you, and then, I'm telling you what, watch your faith and His kingdom grow. I want to pray, if you would join me, please. And don't be offended in this prayer if you've already dealt with these things, and praise the Lord. And if you haven't, I encourage you that you would seek Him. Forgive us, God, if we have taken Your kingdom for granted. Forgive us if we have ignored Your word and its power to transform us and the world around us. You have taken us and given us the seeds of faith and the fruit of Your Spirit and its power. Forgive us if we have misused these resources, Lord, displayed them rarely to our neighbors and family and friends, utilized them grudgingly, or ignored them carelessly. I want to thank You for Your salvation and for Your grace for the day and for tomorrow if we have it. May we be, Lord, this fellowship, Your humble servants in Your harvest. Amen.